Welcome to Kingston Reid's Word to the Wise podcast series for HR and safety professionals.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Katie Swetman, a partner at Kingston Reid here in Melbourne, and I'm super excited to be joined today by my fellow partner, Shelley Williams, from Kingston Reid's brand spanking new Brisbane office. So how is it up there in sunny Queensland?
It's not particularly sunny in Brisbane today, Katie. But I'm equally excited to be here. As you say, it's our first official week of our Brisbane office, which is where I'm now currently based. And I'm joined in the Brisbane office by Liam Fraser, partner, who specialises in safety and industrial law. The Brisbane office is well placed to service all of our clients and prospective clients' employment, industrial and safety needs. And I'm delighted to be here.
So today we're going to be talking about some recent changes to casual employment come about as what was left of the IR Omnibus Bill, which passed Parliament amending the Fair Work Act. These provisions have got a bit of a long history. Did you want to run through some of the background to what got us to where we are, Shelley?
Yeah, so the casual employment amendments formed part of that broader Omnibus Bill package of amendments, which was introduced into Parliament late last year. The Omnibus Bill proposed amendments to five key areas of the industrial framework in the Fair Work Act, including amendments relating to award simplification, greenfields agreements, casual employment, enterprise agreements, and compliance and enforcement. The casual employment amendments were inserted to address that double dipping issue that arose following the WorkPac and Rosado decision of the full federal court. In the Rosado decision, WorkPac had argued that the employee had been engaged as a casual employee in six consecutive contracts over a period of 4 years, and that those engagements were essentially separate periods of casual employment. Now, the full court of the federal court disagreed with that and found that Rosado and WorkPac had agreed on employment of indefinite duration, which was stable, regular and predictable, such that there was a firm advance commitment evident in each of his six contracts. So on that basis, he was entitled to payments of annual leave, personal carers leave and compassionate leave, as well as payments for public holidays. Importantly, the full court also found that WorkPac was not entitled to recover any amount from Mr. Rosado as restitution of the casual loading that had been paid to him. It wasn't able to set off any of those liabilities. So the casual employment amendments were primarily inserted to clarify this issue of double dipping in respect of the casual loading and leave entitlements. So what ended up happening to the other four areas of the Omnibus Bill? We went from an Omnibus Bill to a Unibus pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. So the Omnibus Bill, by way of background, was originally introduced into Parliament to give businesses some greater confidence to get back to growing jobs and having a little bit more flexibility in responding to a post-COVID workplace. However, significant concessions were made in the Senate and the Act ended up focusing solely on casual employment. So some of the casualties as the IR Omnibus Bill fell flat through Parliament was that proposed changes around the Fair Work Commission having some discretion in their assessment of the better off overall test for enterprise agreements fell away. What was the fairly uncontroversial sunsetting of zombie agreements, so old Workplace Relations Act agreements, fell away. There were proposals to introduce federal wage theft laws, and so that fell away. Although we do have Victorian wage theft laws, that will be looking to come in to fill the gap there. Some flexibility around part-time hours of work for part-time employees, we lost that, and then flexible work directions. So a lot of the flexibilities that we gained to one degree or another through some of the JobKeeper enabling provisions, looking to make those permanent ongoing. We sadly lost some of those, including some that were not particularly controversial. But what we were at least able to get out of it was this age-old question of what is a casual employee? And so what is the definition of a casual?
That's right. This was a really critical part of the amendments that have thankfully come into operation in the Fair Work Act, and it's that introduction of a statutory definition of casual employee, which came into operation on the 27th of March this year. According to the new definition, which for the IR geeks amongst us, it's found in section 15A, there are three elements that define a casual employment arrangement. Firstly, an offer of employment is made by an employer with no firm advanced commitment to ongoing and indefinite work. Secondly, the person being offered employment knows that there is no firm advance commitment to ongoing work with an agreed pattern of work. And thirdly, the employee accepts the offer on that basis. So how is the definition different to the previous understanding that we had of casual employment, Katie?
It is pretty different in that we've actually got some elements that we can really point to. Previously, to determine whether someone was a casual employee or as opposed to a permanent part-time or full-time employee, we had tests coming out of the courts. And the common law defined a casual relationship, how the common law defined a casual relationship depended on consideration of the relationship across the entire period of the engagement. And the rule of thumb we had through that was looking at the question of whether the employee was engaged on a regular and systematic basis with a reasonable expectation of ongoing work. And that was a pretty fluid test to try and apply at any given time. And it's because of that that there was so much litigation around claims for casual employees, taking into account the different sorts of arrangements that employers and employees had. And then we had the Fair Work Commission had a go at trying to clarify or provide some certainty to employers by having a definition of casual in modern awards, which was essentially an employee who was engaged and paid as such. So if you were offered employment as a casual employee and paid a casual loading, then you were an employee. But that was always muddied by this common law test that sat over the top of it. So one of the key things coming out of this new definition is it's not this moving feast of is that employee a casual, genuine casual employee this week or not. It looks at the initial offer and acceptance of the casual employment arrangement. And so when employers are working out how to implement these provisions, what we're looking at is whether or not there is a firm advance commitment to ongoing work with an agreed pattern of work. And so there's a few, so helpfully there's some specific elements around what does feed into this new statutory definition.
Yeah, I agree that it is quite helpful. The Act now, along with the new definition, it specifies some of the factors that the court can consider in determining whether this commitment has been made. And it's couched in the legislation as the only factors that the court can consider in determining whether there is an advance commitment for the purposes of the definition. Essentially, it is whether the employer could elect to offer work and whether the person could elect to accept or reject that work, whether the person would work as required according to the needs of the employer, and whether the employment was described as casual employment. And then finally, whether the person would be entitled to a casual loading or a specific rate of pay for casual employees under the terms of the offer or a modern award or an enterprise agreement. And we'll touch on some of the developments that are occurring in relation to the modern awards later in our podcast. But there is, accordingly, as a result, there's limited scope for the courts to look at the relationship as a whole, as it has done in the past, as you say, to develop and evolve that common law test. It really is now applying those legislative criteria that's found as part of these amendments.
Yeah. It's certainly not the end of the story, though. And I guess the big thing for employers to understand out of all of this is that there are new obligations around casual conversion. So a number of our clients will be familiar with the casual conversion provisions in modern awards, which required an employer to offer casual conversion to permanent employment for particular employees, casual employees who've been working regular hours for a period of time. What do these changes add to those modern award casual conversion provisions?
Yeah, so under the new law, these rights and obligations now become a national employment standard. Critically, the NES now creates an obligation on an employer to offer casual conversion, and then there is a right for an employee to request casual conversion. Casual employees need to meet a set of statutory requirements or a criteria to be entitled to exercise these rights and request permanent employment. But I think the important aspects to remember in relation to these new amendments is that ability for an employee to request casual conversion, but also the obligation of an employer to offer casual conversion.
This key change for employers around this obligation to offer casual conversion comes up where there's a pretty low threshold for when those need to be offered. which is where an employee has been employed for at least 12 months, where they've worked a regular pattern of hours for the last 6 months on an ongoing basis, and the regular hours could continue on a full-time or part-time basis without significant changes being made. So what this is going to require is employers to institute systems to monitor and better have better awareness over the 12-month anniversary date of when their casual employees have started with them.
Yeah.
So yep, that they can make that assessment of whether or not they've worked, they've, even if they didn't start out that way, whether they've evolved to a situation where they're working a fairly regular pattern of hours and they've been doing that for 6 months.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. So what happens after the employer's made that offer?
Yeah, so once an employer has made an offer of casual conversion, as they're required to do, if they meet those tests, the employee has got 21 days to respond in writing to either accept or reject the offer. If an employee doesn't respond to the offer of casual conversion, then that's taken to have been a refusal or they're taken to have declined the offer. So it is the case that employers will have some greater certainty now if employees are reluctant to convert from casual to permanent employment, which is something we hear all the time in response to these casual conversion obligations. If an employee does accept an offer of permanent employment, then a second 21-day clock starts for the employer to confirm the terms of the casual conversion or the conversion to permanent, which really just means you've got 21 days to issue the new contract of employment to the employee, which must be a part-time or full-time contract.
Yeah. And are there any circumstances in which an employer is not required to offer the conversion?
Yeah, so if it's a question of, it comes down to if that 6 months of regular work isn't actually reflective of what the ongoing situation is going to be. So employers are not required to offer casual conversion if they've got reasonable grounds to believe that the employee's position will cease to exist in the next 12 months coming up. If the hours of work that the employee will be required will be significantly reduced in that 12-month period, if there'll be a significant change in the days or the times at which the employee's hours of work will be required to be performed, which cannot be accommodated within the days or times that the employee is available to work. So in those situations, an employer is not required to make an offer of casual conversion. However, you still need to take active step to tell the employee that that's the assessment that you've made. So you can't just make an assessment of all my casual employees, their hours may change in the next 12 months, so I don't need to take any action. You do need to give a conscious assessment to each of your casual employees and either to make them an offer of casual conversion or else tell them why you're not doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Completely agree. The other side of the casual conversion obligations in the legislation is the right for an employee to request casual conversion to permanent employment. What does that obligation, when does it come into effect?
Yeah, so we've got a little bit of breathing space, and I think this is probably reflective of the fact that employers need to be taking some action now to assess what offers they need to make. And so employees won't actually have the capacity to make rights to request until after the 27th of September this year. But employers should still be using this period to put their systems in place to respond to requests for casual conversion so they're ready once they do come in. And so Shelley, did you want to talk through what some of the circumstances are where an employee will be able to exercise a right to request?
Yeah, so there's again, the legislation sets out the criteria that needs to be considered. And as you say, this is really, now's the time where organisations need to be putting in place steps to conduct those assessments. And essentially in doing so, the criteria is that the casual employee has been employed for at least 12 months. For the last 6 months of that period, ending when the request is made, the employee worked a regular pattern of work on an ongoing basis. The employee could reasonably continue working the same pattern without any significant adjustment on a full-time or a part-time basis. And during the 6 months, the employee has not rejected an offer by the employer for permanent employment, and their employer has not refused a request that they've made.
Yeah. So it does sound like it is pretty much a similar assessment to where an employer must make an offer of casual conversion. What happens after an employee makes a request? Is that different?
Yeah, so the employer has 21 days to respond in writing. And if the employer accepts the employee request during the following 21 days, the employer must discuss with the casual their conversion date, post-conversion hours of work, and whether their conversion is to full-time or part-time employment, and provide written notice to the casual of those matters. So that's essentially, you know, issuing a new employment contract.
And I guess the big question is, can an employer say no?
It is a big question, and the answer to the question is yes, they can, but it's only if they've first consulted with the employee on reasonable grounds, which substantially mirror those reasonable grounds on which an employer can determine not to offer casual conversion, which you set up before.
And so one of the big questions that I've been getting from my clients is, what does this mean, or how does this interact with the casual conversion provisions that are already in the modern awards?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point that we're going to get further clarity on it as the Fair Work Commission modern award review process is undertaken. But essentially, the provisions do continue to operate in the meantime. So employers with employees covered by modern awards that contain casual conversion provisions, they need to continue to notify employees of their right to request casual conversion under those provisions. And in recognising that there is overlap, obviously, now between the Fair Work Act casual provisions and modern award casual provisions, in mid-April, the Fair Work Commission issued a discussion paper on the casual terms award review process. And it's raised some really interesting questions that the parties have been asked to file submissions and to consider. There are currently 89 modern awards that contain casual conversion model clauses, which were inserted by the full bench in the part-time and casual employment common issue proceedings. And there are 25 industry awards that contain an award-specific casual conversion clause. So there is certainly a lot for the Commission to work through and to reconcile how the current modern award provisions are going to adequately interact with the new Fair Work provisions.
Yeah, so how better to extend a four-yearly review now that we're in year seven of that four-yearly review? This is the never-ending yearly review.
That's exactly right. Is there anything else you think employers should know about hiring new casuals?
Yeah, so the last critical takeaway on this aspect is that there is now a new casual employment information statement. And this is a statement that must be issued to all new employees as soon as practical, either before or as soon as practical after they commence employment. For existing employees, those statements need to be provided as soon as practical after the 27th of September this year. That casual employment information statement is also a really handy reference guide for employers because it's, to be fair, a pretty neat summary of what the obligations around casual conversion involve. One thing to keep in mind is that casual employment information statement does need to be provided to employees in addition to the Fair Work information statement. So add it to your trays of...
Yeah, that's a good point.
As part of your new employee packs. So you'll have your super choice form, your Fair Work information statement, your casual employment information statement, and stick that in with your contract and position description when you're sending those packs out to your new employees.
Yeah. That's very good advice. So this is all obviously focused on employers recruiting new casual employees, but what's the situation with existing casual employees?
Yeah, so there is a bit of a transition period. So the conversion provisions for existing casuals are subject to a six-month transition starting from the 27th of March 2021 and ending on the 27th of September 2021. And so this applies even if the casual... if your existing casual employee doesn't meet the new definition of a casual employee. During this period, up until the 27th of September, it's really important that employers are doing a review and assessing whether their existing casuals have met the conditions to receive a casual conversion offer and make sure that those offers are made within 21 days after you make that assessment, and if there's a refusal, that's given within 21 days of that assessment, no later than the end of the transition period. So it's you. Aside from the fact you've got the legislative obligation to do a sweep over your casual workforce, it's a really good opportunity to do a bit of a sweep about your current workforce composition and to assess whether it's still the right fit for what you need your casual employees to do. And so I guess we talk a lot to larger employers. Do you believe smaller employers have slightly different obligations in this space?
Yeah, they do. So the amendments apply to all employers except for small businesses with fewer than 15 employees. A casual employee in those circumstances can still request conversion from their small business employer. They meet the requirements that we previously discussed. Unlike other employers, small business employers also need to provide their existing casuals. So any casual who was employed prior to the 27th of March this year with a copy of the statement as soon as practicable after the 27th of March.
Yeah,
so the final piece of the puzzle is how the amendments deal with issue of double dipping, which we touched on previously. Can employers set off the casual loading against other entitlements such as leave entitlements? I think this is the big ticket item for so many of our clients.
Yeah, I think that's right, because there is that concern that if an employee, an existing casual employee, was to make a claim and successfully make a claim that they are in fact a permanent employee, there is this fear that they'll be able to double dip, and in addition to the casual loading that they already receive, that they'll be receiving annual leave and other entitlements on top of that. And in the Rosato case, the federal court didn't allow the employer to set off the casual loading that was paid to the employee against the accrued leave entitlements that the court found he was entitled to as a permanent employee. So Rosato had a bit of a windfall in that case, and that's triggered a whole lot of subsequent claims, and there's a number of class actions that were initiated off the back of that. So in response to this, the Act now provides that a casual loading may be set off against claims made by a casual employee for various entitlements, including annual leave and personal leave and redundancy pay. But it's really important that casual loading is expressed to be paid as compensation for or in lieu of those paid entitlements. So it's really important to make sure that you do have your contracts reviewed to make sure that your definition of casual employment and that your definition of casual loading reflects this. So the critical things are that the capacity to set off a casual loading against any future leave entitlement will arise where in respect of an employee who's employed subject to a contract that provides that they're employed on a casual basis. They are paid an identifiable casual loading in respect of one or more paid entitlements. So obviously there needs to be a finding that they're not in fact a casual employee and they've made a claim. And so where those issues, those circumstances arise, then there will be that capacity to set off the casual loading that was previously paid. And so when those set off provisions do apply, the court, whatever the court has assessed is owing to the employee in respect of their leave entitlements will be reduced by the amount of any casual loading that was paid to them. So prospectively, where you're doing the right thing, there shouldn't be an issue where you meet that definition of a casual employee, but certainly for any existing arrangements, that will be gives employers a bit of comfort.
Yeah. So, I mean, at a baseline, employers really need to be reviewing their employment contracts. Those casual employment contracts need to be carefully reviewed to ensure that they contain an adequate set-off clause, obviously, but also that they accurately define casual employment now and that it aligns with the new Fair Work Act definition and also sets out some of those rights and obligations relating to casual conversion.
There is
an obligation, which we've sort of talked about, on employers to conduct that initial assessment of their casual workforce. So it's critical now, particularly before September, that process is being undertaken without any delay to identify sort of which buckets your casual employees are going to sit in and which sets of obligations are going to apply in relation to a particular casual employee in respect of whether you're required to offer or request casual conversion.
Yeah, and there's certainly going to need to be much more considered attention given to the appropriateness of your arrangements with your casual employees moving forward. You'll need to develop up a suite of template letters and checklists and the such that can be utilized to make sure that you and your managers are complying with the offer and request provisions, because and making sure that all of those relative steps are met within the particular timeframes, because it is very specific and they're very prescriptive. And being part of the National Employment Standards, they do carry civil penalty provisions if employers get them badly wrong.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that employers can't be casual about casual employment. while the casual employment amendments have obviously assisted in creating clarity, given the prescriptive nature of some of these changes, it does also it creates a different type of risk, and there's a potential risk now to employers of non-compliance with these new provisions, given how prescriptive they are. So it is quite important that in the immediate term, an initial review is conducted of your entire workforce in relation to your casuals, but also in relation to the current casual employment contracts and the templates that you're using in relation to casual conversion.
Yeah. So isn't it handy that Kingston Reid has thought through all of these issues?
Of course,
developed a very helpful, suite of new casual employment documents, which of course comply with these provisions, and we can provide you with checklists and other tools to make it really easy to comply with these obligations. So clients and other businesses are of course very welcome to reach out and get in touch to discuss how we can help you with ensuring compliance with this quagmire of new obligations.
Absolutely.
With that said, thank you everyone for joining us, and we look forward to discussing this issue with you further another time.